Hebrews 11, verse 20, 21, and 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege that we have to read it, to hold it in our hands, knowing these are the words of God, the will of God for our lives, the plan of God in redeeming and saving us through Christ. So we're grateful that we can know you through your word as you have revealed yourself to us. So I pray that we would hold your word in high esteem. We would put upon it great value. And listen to what you have to say to us. Endeavor to understand what you have to communicate to us so that we may know you better and rejoice in you greater and worship you fuller. May those things be true of us tonight as we look into your word. Help us, for we cannot do it on our own. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, we saw a explanation of faith, and then we began to look at the examples of faith that are given to us here in this book. The examples of faith start with Abel. In Abel we saw the life of faith. Then we went to Enoch, saw the walk of faith. Then to Noah and saw the work of faith in his obedience. Then Abraham, who is the pattern of faith. And now we come to these three that were mentioned in the text that we read tonight: Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, I don't know what you thought when you read those three verses we just read. But here's what I thought. How in the world am I going to get anything out of those three verses? That's what I thought. Well, you have to remember that the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish readers. And he can be vague and he can be brief because they can fill in the blanks with their history. They understand, they know Jewish history, and they can sort of fill in the blanks that he leaves unfilled. So their understanding of historical Jewish things is so complete that all you got to say is, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. They get it. We can't do that. We have to do a little bit more work, and we have to do a little bit more historical reading and hearing than just looking at that particular text. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So we're going to be a historical lesson of Genesis. The chapter here is about faith, the principle of faith. The principle of salvation by faith is not something new. The writer of Hebrews goes all the way back to the beginning of history. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, goes all the way back to the beginning of history and shows that every real person of God is a person of faith. Say amen. We're saved by faith. Always have been saved by faith. The Jews had sort of progressed into a, well, I wouldn't say they progressed, they had sort of regressed into a works-based salvation. They believed they could please God by their works. But the truth is that God is always pleased by faith. And we are saved by faith alone. And so salvation has always been by faith and never has been by works. You'll never earn your way to heaven. It just can't be done. So having given a great deal of attention to Abraham, the writer of Hebrews summarizes the faith of these three patriarchs who followed Abraham: Isaac, his son, Jacob, his grandson, and Joseph, his great-grandson. And to summarize their faith, he looks at each one of these patriarchs at the end of their lives. You know that old saying, it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. Remember last week I said, if your faith can't get you through death, your faith is no good now. Say amen. So listen. He takes us all the way to the end of the life of Isaac, the end of the life of Jacob, and the end of the life of Joseph. And despite their failures along the way, there is the evidence of real, genuine, God-given faith at the end of their lives. So what we have to do, we have to avoid letting God's plan of salvation get lost in the events of history and in the failures of man. There is God's plan of salvation that has been set in place and is continuing to bring people into the family of God. And these three men, Jacob, Joseph, Isaac, are aware of the plan of God because the plan of God included them. So let's approach this tonight by looking at these three men, and in the process, I want to give you three aspects about God's plan of salvation that they teach us. Can we do it that way? Let's begin by looking at Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So we're looking at Isaac, and we're looking at his awareness that the plan of God is unchangeable. Say amen. The plan of God in the salvation of men is an unchangeable plan. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He blessed Jacob and he blessed Esau concerning things to come. Now, remember, Isaac is the child of promise. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. The son is Isaac. And upon Abraham's death, God comes to Isaac and reaffirms to him the promise that God had given to his father Abraham. Now, Isaac had two sons with his wife Rebekah. He had Jacob and he had Esau. Right? And if you remember, before they were born, before Jacob and Esau were born, they were twins. God comes to Rebekah and tells Rebekah that something strange is going to happen, something unusual is going to happen. The younger son is going to receive the blessing instead of the older son. And you remember that in the womb they had this struggle, and Esau came out first and Jacob was grabbing at his heels and things like that. But the normal way things were done was that the oldest son, the elder son, received the blessing. But God said things were going to be sort of switched up, and in this situation, that Jacob was going to receive the blessing and not Esau. So, is it not true that Rebekah, and of course I would say she would tell Isaac, that this was God's plan? Say amen. It's God's plan that Jacob received the blessing and not Esau. But we also learn that Isaac preferred Esau. No doubt Esau would have been the guy that we would have gravitated toward as well. He seemed to be a neat guy, and he was more personable of the two. Isaac seemed to be a timid and sort of a weak person, and Esau was Isaac's preferred son. And because Esau was Isaac's preferred son, Isaac wanted Esau to have the blessing. Say amen. So if you'll remember the story, when Isaac was old and his eyes were weak, he called for Esau to come so that he could give Esau the blessing before he died. But it really wasn't his blessing to give, was it? It was God's blessing to give. And God had already said, the younger will get the blessing, not the older. Are you with me? So Isaac thinks that he can manipulate or change the plan of God. But you remember Rebekah and Jacob together plotted and planned a very deceptive way in which Jacob would get the blessing. Jacob dressed up and disguised himself as Esau. Esau was a very hairy man. And so Jacob put on the skins of animals so that he would feel hairy. And Isaac, eyes bad, would feel the hairiness of Jacob's disguise, and thinking he was giving the blessing to Esau, actually gave the blessing to Jacob. And it was only after Esau returns from hunting that day that Isaac realizes that he has been deceived into giving the blessing to Jacob. So it is at that point that he realizes that this event, the blessing giving, against his own will, against his own plot, and even against his own fleshly designs for Esau, God had overruled and granted the blessing to Jacob. Now, to Isaac's defense, he did believe that the Abrahamic promise was to be passed down to one of his two sons. So his faith was legitimate. And what he winds up doing is acknowledging the blessing given to Jacob, and he winds up giving Esau a lesser blessing. So, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob deceptively, but he can't reverse it. And so he also blesses Esau with a lesser blessing that affirms that the main blessing has been given to Jacob. And he cannot reverse what he's done. And so Isaac finally becomes obedient, even though it is against his own will. And doesn't that show us that when God wants to work His purposes, He'll work His purposes? That the intentions and the will and the designs of men cannot overturn the purposes and the plan of God. You see, we want to fix things, especially with our children. But I want to remind you, we can't believe for our children and we can't reserve a place in heaven for our children either. We can't change God's plan, although we would like for that plan to be something different. We must trust God. And even though Isaac was a spiritually weak person, he was indeed a man of faith that became aware of God's unchangeable plan of salvation. Amen? So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob with the blessing and blessed Esau with a lesser blessing in turn, acknowledging God's plan to have Jacob with the blessing. Look at verse 21. We have Jacob, the deceiver. By faith, Jacob, when he was what? Dying. He blessed both the sons of who? Joseph, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now Jacob, unlike Esau, saw the eternal value of the birthright and the blessing. And he pursued it, both of them, received both of them. Now as we move forward to the time that Jacob is like Isaac, he is old, he is weak, and he is dying. Now remember the context. The whole family has been saved by Joseph, right, down in Egypt. Joseph has been told by God about his special place in God's plan of salvation. You'll remember that Joseph had those dreams in which his brothers and his parents would be bowing down to him. Well, those things had come to pass. They had been saved by Joseph. Joseph is the prime minister of Egypt. He is second in command under Potiphar. And it's blessing time again. It's time for the blessing to be handed down again. And Joseph has two sons, Manasseh the eldest and Ephraim the youngest. And so Joseph brings both of his sons before Jacob to see which one will receive the blessing. Now, Joseph is careful to arrange things so that he will get a predicted outcome. Somebody help me. It is the right hand that bestows the blessing. Say amen. And so what Joseph does, he puts his eldest son, Manasseh, on the right hand of Jacob, and he puts Ephraim the younger on his left, so that when Joseph reaches out his right hand, he's going to put the right hand of blessing on Manasseh. That's who Joseph wants to have the blessing. But again, it's not their blessing to give. It's God's blessing to give, and God's plan isn't often arranged to bring about predictable outcomes. So, as Jacob reaches forth his right hand and his left hand, and you can just see that Joseph begins to smile because that right hand is reaching for his eldest son. But as he reaches out, the Holy Spirit constrains Jacob to cross his hands, so that the greater blessing goes to the younger, Ephraim, and the lesser blessing goes to Manasseh. You see, Joseph is the prime mover in Egypt. Nobody gets nothing without Joseph's okay. But Joseph ain't the prime mover when God is concerned. God is in control and God is the prime mover. And so the plan of God surprises Joseph and crosses him up. And God often surprises us. And God's plan often crosses us up as well. And what I mean by that is this. God often makes unexpected choices in the people that He uses to further His kingdom. If you want any greater example of that, look at yourself. And see that God did some crossing up on people when He chose you. Somebody help me. I don't know about you, but I wasn't the most likely to succeed, and I wasn't the most likely to wind up in church and preaching the gospel. But I tell you what, God crossed some folks up. We just really don't know how God is going to do His work and with whom God is going to do His work with. We look at the strong. God looks at the what? The weak. We look at those who have influence and who are influential, and God uses those who have no influence at all. And you know, that's the way God's always carried out His plan. There aren't many strong or noble that God has chosen. He has chosen the weak and the crude. I was talking to one of my teachers a week or so ago, and he was talking about how much more God can do in places where religious freedoms are put into place. And I reminded him that God does not need religious freedoms to do His work. I'm here to tell you, and I told him, God can do more under oppressive governments than He can do in America where freedom and advantages are great. God doesn't need freedoms. He can get the job done any way God desires to get the job done, even in oppressive places. Now, let me just remind you, it was of that classic night, that classic wrestling match between Jacob and the Lord that had left him with a limp. You remember the angel of the Lord had touched his hip and left him with that limp for the rest of his life. But it was from that point forward that Jacob had leaned on the Lord instead of leaning on his own understanding and leaning on his own cunningness and his own ingenuity. He began to lean on the Lord. It was his faith in God and not faith in his schemes that he began to lean upon. And he worshiped. He worshiped God as he leaned. And I just want to remind you that's what we all have to do. We have to worship God as we lean on Him. None of us worship in the strength of our own. We worship as we lean on Him. God's plan is unchangeable. Isaac became aware of that. God's plan is unpredictable. Jacob proves that. And then finally, verse number 22. We have Joseph, right? We have Joseph when he what? Died. Made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. There is going to be a departing of the children of Israel. And he gave commandment concerning what? His bones. All right. Fast forward. Genesis 52. Joseph is old, he's weak, he's dying. Israel is still in Egypt, right? They don't belong there, but that's where they are. There's a promise for them somewhere other than Egypt. They haven't realized it yet, but God has promised. And Joseph is a great man in Egypt, but God has a greater place for him. And Joseph believes the promises of God, and he gives instructions to the people of Israel. This is what he says, beginning in Genesis 50:24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph was so sure of the promise of God that he left instructions that when God delivered them from Egypt, don't forget to take my bones with you. He had bone faith. Say amen. Verse 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Right? And he was waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. So, although it will be a long time before God's promises come true, Joseph knows that God always keeps his word. Let me tell you the mistake that we make. It is a mistake to judge God on the short term. What did God say? 1,000 years are like a day to him. But what we can be sure of, if we are in Jesus Christ, we have a future with him. And what we learn from Joseph is that not only is God's plan of salvation unchangeable, say amen. Yes? But also that God's plan of salvation is unfailing. Joseph knew that although God had used him in Egypt, he wasn't going to stay there. He belonged to God, and therefore he would be with God in his future. Let me remind you that the world at its best is still just the world. The world at its best is nothing better than the world. There is something better than this world for God's people. We have a much better place in which we are citizens of a better, greater kingdom. So Joseph reaffirms to them the promise of God. God has promised to bring his people out of Egypt and take them to the land of promise. So understand this. God will not leave you here. He will surely visit you. And he will bring you out of this land unto the land of promise. And when he does, you make sure you take my bones with you. Don't leave me here. Not even my bones. You take them with you where God's promised we will be. So Joseph doesn't die in despair. Joseph doesn't die overwhelmed with unfulfilled dreams. He doesn't die saying, oh, it never came to pass, it never came to be. He died saying, it's coming! Because he believed God. And he lived knowing that he would die. Say amen. We all ought to be living knowing we're going to die. But that the promise of God will never die. Say amen. So was Joseph's faith justified? Did God's plan fail? Was Joseph's faith in vain? Let me read to you Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse number 17. Run if you will. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, you remember all that was involved in that, and God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse number 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Say amen. So when they packed off in Exodus, they packed up old Joseph. Or what was left of him. And he took him with him. Was Joseph's faith in vain? Not hard. Was Joseph right? Yes. See, instead of wanting God to fit into our plans, we need to glory in the plan of God. You know, everybody dies, but God lives. Jesus lives, the Spirit lives, and the plan of God's salvation marches on. His plan is unchangeable. His plan is unpredictable. His plan is unfailing. And we are the links in the chain of its fulfillment. Your faith in Him will not be in vain. God knows the story. You know why? Because it's His story. And the end is glorious. Say amen. There is victory in faith. There was victory in faith for Isaac, for Jacob, and for Joseph. Say amen. What God has had promised, they all received. And we will too.